The Vedic scriptures encoded about 5,000 years ago warn that as time goes on in the present age, which is called Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the dark iron age, as days go on, day by day, all human standards become degraded. Hypocrisy in all spheres of life are just normal. Many things previously considered abominable are now considered normal and even praised and thought that they're necessary. This is especially prominent in the Western world in sexual mores or sexual standards. It was previously considered, not so long ago, just a few generations ago, it was considered very bad that women wear revealing clothes, or they don't wear enough to cover their bodies. Contraception was considered very wrong and very bad. Abortion, homosexuality. You may have different opinions about this, but it's pretty much undeniable that all these things were considered very wrong, and now they're considered by many or most or societal norms that they're considered very good or proper or at least okay. One issue that's been especially divisive in America, the United States of America, is over abortion, the right to life or the right to choice. Some say that abortion is very wrong. These are mostly Christians, old school type of Christians, and some say that no, women should have the choice what they do with their body. There's a lot of hypocrisy around the abortion issue. Doctors are supposed to be saving lives, but especially those in the abortion business kill more lives than they save. You can say, well, it's not really a life, but if the fetus wasn't alive, then it wouldn't be growing. There's outrage from the Christian right, as it's called, against abortion. But most of them are okay with contraception. Now, previously, Christians, practically all of them, we're talking about, how far are we going back now? To the beginning of the 20th century. Previously, pretty much all Christians thought contraception was wrong for very similar reasons that abortion is considered wrong by Christians, many Christians, that you haven't got the right to terminate life, you haven't got the right to contraceive life. Life is given by God, and we have no right to take it away. We have no right to stop the natural procedure of sperm mixing with the ovum and then the process begins by which a baby is born. But nowadays, contraception is widely considered okay by most Christians, it would seem. The Roman Catholic Church theoretically bans contraception, but no one talks about it too much. And it seems that not many Roman Catholics follow that. At least they theoretically ban it. In Hinduism, for want of a better term, no one even talks about it. It's just considered completely okay. Good thing. Keeps the population down. There are so many reasons which are proffered for abortion being okay. But if we see what we may call the Hindu scriptures, it's considered extremely sinful. And you may say, well, we have to blah, 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 this, the present situation, the world today, but the laws of nature don't necessarily go along with your reasoning. There are the laws of karma. More hypocrisy, getting back to the Christian side. The Ten Commandments, Ten Commandments means that's included for Jews also. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not covet another's wife. And pretty much all religious social teachings say the same thing. Don't go flirting around someone else's wife. Even among non-religious people, it used to be considered wrong to be after someone else's wife. It was largely considered wrong. But we see that so many Christians divorce and remarry, although divorce isn't allowed in Christianity, or wasn't supposed to be, still not allowed in the Roman Catholic Church, but again, it's something which goes on anyway. So if we're impassioned against abortion, okay, we're with you on that, but why not about contraception? Why not about divorce? And then if you remarry, you marry someone else's wife, she may be divorced, you say, no, no, it's okay because she's divorced. But if there's no divorce allowed, then practically you are coveting, and not just coveting, but cohabiting with someone else's wife. So there's a lot of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, it's everywhere. The airlines announce you're on an airline and you have to put your seatbelt, and they announce that your safety, the passenger's safety, is our number one priority. BS. If you don't know what that means, look it up in the dictionary. Their number one priority is taking your money. Politicians make promises with no intention to fulfill them. News, so much of the news is just, it's pretending to be news, but it's biased to some mindset, pretending to be neutral. Hypocrisy is everywhere. Here's a story which is, funny? It's not funny. It's interesting, you could say. That's why it came in the news. I saw it in the news just a few days ago. I'll go through that, about a woman killing a cat. No, it's not funny, but it is interesting. That's how it got in the news. A 27-year-old woman in the United States of America killed a cat and ate it. She was sentenced to 1 year in jail, and the judge was extremely angry with her. There was body cam footage from police officers who reached her house having got news from the neighbors, who were horrified seeing her sitting outside her house on all fours eating the cat. It seems she just killed it and started. I'm not sure how she did it, how you get through all that fur and start to, maybe she cut it with a knife, it's not said. The police officer is heard on the video clip saying, what did you do? Why did you kill the cat? The judge said, you have embarrassed this county. You have embarrassed this nation. More importantly, you have embarrassed yourself. You present quite a danger to our community. This is repulsive to me. I mean, that anyone would do this to an animal. An animal's like a child. I don't know if you understand that or not. I can't express the disappointment, shock, and disgust that this crime has brought to me. I don't know what could prompt anyone to want to eat a cat. The judge sentenced her to 1 year in jail after she pleaded guilty to a felony charge of animal cruelty. For those who don't know, felony means a serious offense in American legal jargon. Okay, let's examine some of the hypocrisy here. One thing is, a woman who killed a cat and was on all fours eating it, it suggests that she's mentally disturbed, maybe through drug use. That's one thing wasn't taken into account. The judge says, you've embarrassed this nation. Phew. For killing a cat? Well, I don't want to get into America bashing. I'm not into America bashing per se. But if we are to be objective, then this nation, the United States of America, by its policies and by its direct military interventions, has killed so many people. Isn't that an embarrassment? Embarrassment because you killed a cat? Embarrassment, anyway, you get the point. Then the judge saying that it's repulsive. How can you kill an animal? And after the court proceedings, the judge would have proceeded to eat his next meal, which almost certainly contained meat, which, by the way, comes from animals, which are killed. An animal is like a child. Then what about the cows, chickens, fish, pigs, goats? I guess there's not so much goat eating in the United States. Sheep, yeah, these are the main animals, which are animals, birds, fish, which are eaten on a regular daily basis. And that's not repulsive. That's not embarrassing. The cow is not like a child that you shouldn't kill. Lot of hypocrisy. Lot of hypocrisy. You could discuss it more. How many hundreds of thousands of animals are killed daily, either in America or for American humans to eat? I'm not saying it's good to kill cats or eat cats, but to make an issue out of a cat when the whole nation is gorging on animals seems like hypocrisy. I was talking about the Vedic literatures. In the Vedic literatures, it's described that about 5,000 years ago, there was a gathering of great saintly people in a place called Naimisharanya. And they heard that someone who was pretending to be a king or fit to lead the people of the world had beaten a cow. And that the real king who came along didn't kill him for that offense. But nowadays, not just beating of cows, but their lifelong torture followed by slaughter, wholesale slaughter, is just considered completely normal. And the leaders of human society, they themselves eat fish, eggs, animal food in all forms. And they promote this. It's good business, good for the country. Export beef, get plenty of foreign exchange. By the influence of time, that which was considered abominable becomes normal as society becomes more and more and more depraved. Hypocrisy. We could talk for hours about it, for days about it, for all our life about it. But that in itself could be hypocritical. Talking so much about hypocrisy could be hypocritical. We all hate hypocrisy, but are we not all hypocritical ourselves to some extent? Do we not all try to project ourselves as better than we are? Do we not tend to exaggerate the faults of others and minimize our own, hold others up to standards that we always don't follow ourselves? Whew, here I am. I'm supposed to be a religious leader, right? See from the cloth. Well, religion is especially prone to hypocrisy. It's not only politics. Religion is especially prone to, well, everything. Law, the legal profession is prone to hypocrisy. The medical profession is prone to hypocrisy. Business in general, the way it's conducted nowadays, is prone to hypocrisy. Okay, let's talk about religious hypocrisy. Religion means high ideals, but they're hard to live up to. High ideals are respected, but we might pretend to follow the high ideals just to get respect. Or we might act religiously, for instance, by going to church, just to maintain a profile of a respectable, good person, good, respectable, upright citizen. Religious institutions are rife with hypocrisy. Often people who are looked up to as religious leaders are later exposed as doing very bad things. So that's hypocrisy. And then there's a tendency to cover it up, which is more hypocrisy. In the internet age, it's more difficult to cover it up, which means that it's more difficult to be hypocritical, although it's not going out of fashion very quickly. It could be argued that some level of cover-up in a religious institution or in our own lives is needed. Otherwise, if every little failing is amplified, people would lose faith in the ideal. If you see that someone who's respected as a great religious leader picks his nose. I don't know. That's a very minor thing. It's not the best thing, but you might lose faith. There was a narration I heard that in the old days in India, not so long ago, pretty much everyone, especially in the rural areas, which was most of the country, they used to defecate outside in a field. Usually people go a little distance away from any residential area, and especially a respectable person wouldn't like to be seen defecating. But there's an instance which I heard about that someone saw a highly respected Brahmin and guru who's being lauded as being as good as God, very spiritual person, he saw him one morning defecating in the field. Then he lost faith. How can he be as good as God? So some level of cover-up, I suppose, that going away and defecating in a place where you're not likely to be seen, that's some kind of cover-up. But holding people up to impossible standards, that is not very reasonable. Maybe those who are criticizing for being hypocritical are being hypocritical by holding people up to impossible standards. It's hard to be perfect. Well, now I could be criticized for saying that what I'm saying is hypocritical. I'm making a rationale for hypocrisy. But we find in religious traditions that we are advised to overlook the minor faults of people who are basically spiritually minded, holy people pursuing an ideal. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that even the major faults of someone who is seriously trying to be his devotee should be overlooked. Krishna says, Apichet sudura charo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasitohi saha. Krishna says that someone who is my surrendered devotee, if he is seen to be performing really, really bad things, still he should be considered saintly. And this verse is explained to mean that it doesn't give a license to people to do really bad things, but it may be due to bad habit that someone who's really trying to be the best they can slip into depravity. If it becomes a habit, that's not proper, but that can't be considered the hallmark of a saintly person by any means. But if a saintly person slips into something really bad and pulls himself up again, that should be overlooked, Krishna says. Now, isn't that hypocritical? Well, it probably would be seen as hypocritical if it wasn't said by Krishna. And those who don't have faith in Krishna will still call it hypocritical, and they'll still point out the slips or even take pleasure in pointing out the faults of basically saintly people or trying to be saintly who aren't up to the perfect standard. So some might accuse Krishna himself of being hypocritical. So what's going on here? Am I rationalizing hypocrisy? No, we don't want to encourage hypocrisy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he repeatedly spoke out against duplicity because at that time, and it is a repeated tendency within religious societies to be duplicitous. We have that in the Bible, that Jesus famously stood against the Pharisees, who were the high priests of Judaism, as far as I can remember from my biblical studies at school. The Pharisees became the bad guys because they were into making a show of religiosity, where just for the sake of being respected. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke against duplicitousness in the name of being a devotee of Krishna, under the guise of being a devotee of Krishna, indulging in sinful activities. So yeah, hypocrisy. Some things are clearly almost bizarrely hypocritical, like being angry at someone for killing a cat because it's like a child, an animal is like a child, and then just going and eating meat. It's so ingrained into the meat-eating society that they can't even see the hypocrisy in it. So yeah, hypocrisy is there everywhere. We should ourselves be free from even the slightest, or try to be free from even the slightest hypocrisy. At the same time, religious institutions have a purpose to broadcast the glories of God. In the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we're trying to broadcast the glories of Krishna. There will be people who enter this movement with ulterior motives. There may be others who are trying to be good, but don't always live up to the standard. There may be others who are trying to be good, but get into a habit of doing bad things. Anyway, I can say from my side, please excuse my faults. Correct me if I'm doing wrong. I'm sure I must be doing wrong, but that's a problem. We don't see the things that we ourselves are doing wrong. Plenty of people tell me that I'm wrong on certain philosophical and social issues. But that's one thing, a philosophical stance or a stance on social issues. But behavioral wrongness, I'm trying to avoid. So I'm just, in my own case, help me to try harder to be sincere. Sincerity is the opposite of hypocrisy. Why don't we like hypocrisy? Because it's the opposite of sincerity. And to become sincere is the antidote to hypocrisy.